Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Political Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
All right, another Thursday night. Everybody knows what time it is. You know what time it is?
Sleepy time.
Sleepy time. No, it's not sleepy time yet, but, you know, makes you feel sleepy. It's getting dark so early.
Yeah, it feels like it should be like around 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it feels that way. Oh, my goodness. You got something to start us off with over there?
Yes.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Tonight's devotional is called Consider the Lilies. And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet, I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? That's from Luke 12:25-28. The Queen of Sheba was taken aback, beyond words, at the incredible glory of Solomon. However, the common and transient flowers outshine him. Flowers are here today and gone tomorrow. They blossom, then wither and die. Peter said that all flesh is just like transient grass. All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. That's from 1 Peter 1:24-25. We are born, blossom, wither, and die. But there is a massive difference between us and flowers. We're eternal, and we are more than a lovely, fragrant plant. We are made in the image of God, so how much more will he take care of us? The soul search is, do I think about the wonder of being made in the image of God? How does that truth affect my sense of value? And the prayer, Father, thank you that although I fade as a leaf, you will preserve my soul forever.
Amen. So, you know, the other day you and I were talking about some things, and we were talking about what's going on in Israel right now. And, you know, you had some interesting comments to make about it. And it has sparked, you know, some things that I feel pertinent to come out, you know, about things that in some certain ways it ties into what's going on, and it's about trust and uncertainty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the evil one comes to kill, steal, and destroy, as evidenced by Herod's terrible massacre of the innocents. You know, but Jesus comes that we might have light and have it to the full, a life of faith is a life of relational trust in a good God who loves us constantly communicates with us, and we must learn to trust him even in uncertain times. So with things that are going on, I think that this is a really good one to cover. And we're going to do that a little bit later on in the show.
Well, alrighty. I do like to be the muse, you know.
Oh, okay, you are my muse. There,
yes,
you go.
That's it.
Speaking of muse, let's turn the muse into some news. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Politics, current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
And speaking on what's going on in Israel right now.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. has actually conducted airstrikes on Syrian weapons facility used by Iran in response to attacks on American troops.
Oh, yes.
Two F-15 fighter jets targeted the Maysalan weapons storage facility in eastern Syria after multiple attacks on U.S. troops in recent weeks. And as yesterday, did you hear about the unmanned drone being shot down from Yemen?
I did hear something about
it. And it
Yemen.
Was over international waters when they shot it down.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So this was an unarmed, unmanned, it was, you know, an intelligence flight, but they were in, you know, international waters, and it was shot down.
Mm-hmm.
So
the plot thickens.
And now U.S. forces have conducted a self-defense airstrike. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of been laid out for them. It's like, if you're going to come for us, we're going to come for you.
Yep. Well, U.S.-led forces began live fire exercises in Iraq and Syria after 14 attacks on American bases left 24 injured.
Now, when we're saying training, are we saying that as air quotes training?
Well,
and it being more like an exercise?
Live fire exercises. Yeah. There are 14 attacks that have been on American bases and left 24 injured.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. and coalition forces in Iraq and Syria have been attacked at least 46 times since October 17th.
That's a lot.
Yeah, many from drone strikes, and of these, 24 attacks occurred in Iraq, and 22 took place in Syria. They include a mix of one-way attack drones and rockets. So most of the attacks were successfully disrupted by military forces, and most failed to reach their targets, you know, thanks to robust defenses. But one attack resulted in the death of an American contractor. While through November 9th, there have been 56 total injuries to U.S. troops, according to U.S. defense officials.
Makes me wonder if the contractor was for a company I used to work for.
That is a thought, but hey.
Because
hope not.
There were some that did get kind of caught up in things, and they had no military training. They were just there at the wrong place in the wrong time.
Definitely. So, you know, prayers for all that that continues to go on. And some other big things, some of the stories that you're really not hearing a lot of, but Republicans are demanding answers after a top Biden official invited CCP leaders to a sensitive national security site.
Oh, imagine that.
Allowing foreign adversaries to inspect nuclear testing sites will lead to our own destruction.
When you're hurt in an accident,
is what they're saying.
You're not the only one that's...
Oops, sorry.
I was like, there's a commercial.
There's a commercial. It's coming in on us.
Why?
I don't know why. But there's a coalition of 18 House Republicans. There was some recent offerings to China and Russia offering unprecedented access to the Department of Energy's Nevada National Security Site.
Because that's a great idea.
Yeah. The DOE's National Nuclear Security Administration invited Chinese and Russian officials to tour the site to prove the U.S. is upholding a 3-decade moratorium against testing nuclear weapons.
Yes.
And, you know, it's kind of like, here, you, if I'm going to turn my cards around really quick, look at them. Did you see what I have?
Yeah. Did you see what I have? Okay. Turn them around. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need another peek? Okay. Don't tell anybody. There you go.
So
it's so stupid. It's like offering the cookie jar.
Yeah.
And, you know, then the American people are oftentimes taken aback when you find out that some little country somewhere has now got nuclear capabilities. Like, well, how in the world did that happen?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, and all the while, this stuff is still going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Trump in court, all the things going on with President Biden, you know, different things going around, the war. I mean, it's like, what is the next little object that they're going to hold up and go, you know, look at this, because all the polls are saying Trump's going to beat Biden, and Biden's like, nope, I'm winning.
Yeah.
Despite what they say, I'm winning.
No. But I do think that, you know, there's some interesting stuff coming up. You know, you're talking about like shiny objects and, yeah. and like, really it's more like a lamb to the slaughter in this case of what I'm about to talk about. Yeah. But the censure that has been suggested to be taken against.
Oh, it wasn't suggested. It was done.
Yeah. Representative Tlaib.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question then comes up, what's a censure? You know, how close is that to her actually being removed? And it's very close, actually.
It's a slap on the hand. Don't do this. It's really the next step before actually having somebody removed from the house.
It's kind of like getting a write-up at work. Yeah. Like,
yeah, you're on final written.
You're on a PIP right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and on top of that, you know, that whole Dem squad members, they could face major primary challenges amid, you know, the rhetoric they're doing against Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, you know, all these progressive lawmakers.
The squad.
Yeah, the squad. They were talking about all of that and talking about the censure and, wow, I mean, the anti-Semitism that's going on right now, even in this country, people don't realize what I don't think they realize what they think it is they're standing up for when they're standing up, you know, against Israel.
No, because a lot of the people that you see doing this, and I'm sure you've heard about this, is there's like hundreds of high school campuses that are going to be doing like a protest against Israel. Mm-hmm. I guess it was either today or tomorrow or something. And, I mean, that just goes to show you that, I mean, if you didn't already think that your children's education was compromised, this should definitely throw up a major red flag for you, because children only do what they are taught, that they are told is the right thing. And oftentimes, as we are learning so much with like the gender issues that are going on, the teachers and the parents aren't communicating on the same level. And so the parents have no idea that their children are getting this kind of over the top, very liberal understanding of world affairs. And you can't encourage those sorts of things.
Nope. And, you know, even if we go back to the beginning, I mean, you know, from Genesis 12, you remember we talked about that before, where the Lord said to Abraham, you know, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land I will show you, basically where he promised the land of Israel to Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what were the two main things he said? Two main things he said were people that come against Israel will be condemned.
And that was actually what I was talking about the other yep. night that sort of spawned this message that you have tonight.
Yep.
Because I'm like, if this is God's chosen people and this is where they were sent to be, then why is it that so many slings and arrows are thrown at the Jewish people on the Holy Land, and how is that even allowed to happen?
Well, but, I know. Mean, it's if you think about it, even back through times, the Lord has never stopped anything. He has sheltered his people from a lot of the things that are going on, but he has never once taking somebody out of the way because it's about free will. You know, there's evil going on in this world, and that's some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight, even when we talk about the massacre of the innocents from Herod's terrible massacre. And you're going to see the correlation in that story as to what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And even in then, you know, God's people were protected, but they were not removed from anything that happens. So that's why he was said, you know, those that stand for the Holy Land will be blessed, and those who come against the Holy Land will be, you know, met basically with, you know, condemnation. So, you know, that's some of the stuff that, that we're going to be talking about tonight in this whole thing with what we're doing, what we're talking about later on in trust and uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And I hope that's going to help answer some of the questions a little bit better about what you're asking about that.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what else you might be wanting to talk about as far as news items, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Republican debate that went on last night. Now, granted, I only got to see like the last 30 minutes, but I certainly did watch the highlights this morning on the news. And, you know, I was present for the discussion that they had about abortion. And I'll tell you, I was very impressed with our former governor's stance on it, because Nikki Haley said that she was absolutely 100% pro-life, but she understood that there were differences of opinion, you know, as far as those that are pro-choice and the reasons why they stand by being pro-choice. And she's like, the reason I am the way that I am is because my husband was adopted. I had problems getting pregnant with my own children. So that's why I think that every baby, every life is precious. And she said, you know, I'm not judging somebody because they are pro-choice, and I don't want them judging me because I'm pro-life. We need to find a middle ground that can work, you know, for everyone, which is virtually impossible, but, you know, at least she's willing to bring it to the table and talk about it. And it was just, it was very interesting. And Vivek had his moment last night too, because he actually took on the media for all the misinformation that they've been giving. And that was kind of interesting, because he put one of the moderators right on the spot.
Yeah, I heard about all that. I don't really know what's going on, because it seems like most of the public is interested in other topics other than the whole the whole abortion thing.
Oh, there was the border thing too.
And they're, you know, they keep cycling around these same questions and these same agendas, you know. And that's what gets, I think they're trying to see if they can catch them in a different response, almost like.
I was kind of like, well, when Ron DeSantis was talking about the border last night, he's like, we've got to stop people from coming in here. And if that requires us to kill people in cartels, then I guess that's what we're going to do. We're going to kill them stone cold. And I was like, dadgum. I was like, well, don't put a too fine of a point on it or anything.
Well, you know, I mean, it's that kind of rhetoric that's going to keep people's ears perked for right, wrong, indifferent reasons. It's going to give somebody a reason to come back and complain against something.
Oh, yeah.
For a lack of a better term. You said this, and I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. You know, so now all these people are going to come against you. And you said this, and I like it. So these people are walking away, and they're going to help you. You have to learn to read between the lines, basically.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, because while they're talking about issues that basically have polarized the country, mm-hmm. You know, there's still some very extreme opinions that they have about things,
yep.
And that's going to continue to polarize. You know, I don't really think that there's a right side and a wrong side to belong on, because if you're too Republican, then you're too conservative, and you're like these, you know, the quote unquote MAGA people.
Yeah.
And then you can't be really far on the left, or you're a liberal, or you're like of the squad. You know, and so I think most people probably fall somewhere in between at this point.
Yep. And I think it's interesting, too, to hear the different answers when they were asking what would they urge the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to do at this time, at this moment. And, you know, it's funny. He said, Ron DeSantis says, I would be telling Bibi, finish the job once and for all with these butchers, Hamas, answered Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. They're terrorists. They're massacring innocent people. They would wipe away every Jew off the globe if they could. Now, another response was, the first thing I said to him when it happened was, I said, finish them, said former UN ambassador and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley.
Oh, yeah. She was very definitive in her opinions, because yep, they asked her about that and they were like, well, what would the people at the UN think if you actually did this? And she was like, I don't care what they think. This is what we would do.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, of course, Chris Christie had his moment, and so did Vivek Ramaswamy. You know, they had their moments of what they said as well. I think Chris Christie said, the first thing I said to him when it happened was, I said, finish them. And then America's is here no matter what you need at any time to preserve the state of Israel. And that's what Chris Christie told him. Remember that Hamas' main goal is to get rid of Israel. And then Vivek Ramaswamy sent a message of support tempered by the America First stance. He said what he would tell him is that Israel had the right and the responsibility to defend itself. He said, I would tell him to smoke those terrorists on the southern border. I mean, these are people that are running for the president, you know, so it's kind of funny to hear those stances, you know, and those kind of, you know, that kind of raw.
And I love that they're using a nickname for the Prime Minister of Israel.
Yeah, Bibi.
Bibi. Like, excuse me, are we on that level?
Yep.
I don't know you.
You know, Tim Scott said, you actually have to cut the head off the snake, and the head of the snake is Iran. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And simply not their proxies. That's what Tim Scott had to say about it.
Yeah, I listened to some of the things that Tim had to say last night, since he's also from our home state. And I have to say that between him and Nikki Haley, I was more impressed with how Nikki was handling herself and the questions.
Definitely. But I just thought that some of their viewpoints and some of the language that was used in some of the answers was like, okay, I mean, could you be a little more direct?
Yeah, and like I said, when Vivek decided to take on the whole media thing, I mean, he was like, I expect an answer, you know, take it away. And I was just like, whoa, okay, that was pretty good. Because he was like, if we really had moderators that were supposed to be here for the Republican Party, it would be like Tucker Carlson. And he mentioned a couple of other people. And I was like, well, yeah, Tucker would get to the bottom of everything. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think Tucker's gotten himself in quite a bit of stance here.
Oh yeah,
with a lot of things, and I mean, really hadn't heard a lot from him lately.
No, other than his podcast that's on X, formerly Twitter.
Yeah. So, you know, with all of this that's going on, it's equally important to remember that you've got to keep your eyes open. You've got to research, you've got to look at it from multiple points of view, you got to look at it from multiple services. You know, just don't take one word, you know, one point of view, one stance. I mean, you know, you've got to be as informed as possible for yourself before you can really begin to dig in and make your own point of view, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, when you're listening to these extreme opinions, it's like, temper it down just a little bit, because you know they're trying to make a point.
Yeah.
So they're going to say these extreme things. But between that and what is actually the situation, you know, that's where you're going to find really more, I think, the truth of the matter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you got to, you've really got to, you got to pray about it more than anything as well. I mean,
yeah.
Along with counsel and, you know, studying as much as you can, trying to make an informed decision. And all of this plays really is kind of funny, like every week. It plays directly into what we're going to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a you know, good point of view with that. So,
yeah.
But with that, are you, ready to dig into some learning?
Let's jump in with both feet.
Both feet.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message.
So trust and uncertainty is tonight's topic. And I said, you know, the main idea of this is the evil one comes to kill, steal, and destroy, as evidenced by Herod's terrible massacre of the innocents. But Jesus comes that we might have life and have it to the full, a life of faith, a life of relational trust, and a good God who loves us, constantly communicates with us, and we must learn to trust him even in uncertain times. So tonight we'll read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route in Matthew chapter 2. So when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and basically told him to get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. So then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice heard in Ramah, weeping a great and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, he took the child and his mother, and they went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So, and that was from Matthew 2:13 through 23. So there's a lot going on in these verses. A lot of drama, a lot of suspense, a lot of trauma, a lot of loss, a lot of journeying. And the first question is, during all of this, what do we see God doing? When we come to Scripture, there are three questions we can ask ourselves that will help us grow. What does this passage teach me about God? What does this passage teach me about mankind? And if this passage is true, how will I adjust my life in the next 24 hours to align with God's will? So this is a very simple approach to Scripture. It's simple as good because you can remember it and execute it. And you don't do the system, you know, you can do this on your own or even in a group. And the reason this last question is important is because it focuses on action rather than information. We need to put into practice, like from Matthew 7:24, what we receive from Scripture, not just acquire head knowledge. So, again, let's start with what the passage teaches me about God. What do we see God doing here? God is guiding and communicating. God is speaking and guiding through angels, and this means God is active. He's aware, and he's evolved. Isn't that awesome? God communicates three times to the Magi to not return to Herod, which is in verse 12, and to Joseph to get up and go to Egypt, which is 2:13, and then again to Joseph to get up and return to the land of Israel from 2:20. So God is a communicator. He loves to speak to his people. Listen to these two phases of Jesus. My sheep listen to my voice, from John 10:27. And the words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life, from John 6:63. So let's not forget that God also spoke via angels to both Mary and Joseph before Jesus was born. So God is really consistent here with speaking and guiding. I'm tempted to say I wish God would communicate to me like that. Joseph, Mary, and the Magi, they had it easy. They were visited by talking, visible angels. And if they fell asleep, God just spoke to them in their dreams. So we know God speaks through his Son. Wouldn't that be great if God would just speak to you in obvious, clear language in an audible voice? Hebrews says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, from Hebrews 1:1-2. So God does continue to guide and speak to us today. He does this through his Son, Jesus Christ. He speaks through his Son via Scripture. He speaks through his Son via the cross. He speaks through his Son via the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ. Scripture will give us a lot of guidance in our life. The Son speaks to us in the Gospels. We can literally hear and read what Jesus taught 2,000 years ago. His teachings then are his teachings now. If you want to hear from God, read the teachings of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And just for starters, but we know God speaks through all the Scriptures, right? Sometimes Scripture doesn't give us the life-specific answers we need. The Magi didn't know how to avoid Herod because they weren't reading Scripture. They knew because an angel specifically told them to avoid Herod. Joseph didn't know to get up and go to Egypt because he wasn't reading Scripture. He knew to go to Egypt because an angel spoke specifically to him in a dream. Sometimes we don't get the specifics we want from Scripture. Who should I marry? Should I change jobs? Should I become a missionary? Should I move my family to another state? Should I go to this college or that college? You won't find answers in Scriptures for any of these life-specific questions. So how do we move forward? This is where true faith comes in. By faith, I mean relational trust in the God who loves me and cares for me. I don't mean having faith for a specific outcome, although that's okay to do. I mean a deeper level of faith that says I will trust God no matter what the outcome. I will simply trust God and move forward the best I can with the information I have. And no matter what happens, I will never fall outside the love and care of God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son, who love me and care for me. So let's talk about something called the 60-40 principle. Okay, here's a very practical principle you need to make a life-specific decision, but aren't sure which way to go. And it's called the 60-40 principle. It's simple. The idea is we seldom have 100% certainty about anything. There's always some doubt or some reason why we shouldn't do something. The life of faith requires that we live in such a way that outcomes are uncertain. This is why it's called a life of faith instead of a life of certainty. The 60-40 principle means that when you get to 60% certainty about something, and you've prayed all you can, and you've sought as much wisdom as you can, and you've searched the Scriptures as much as you can, but just aren't getting beyond 60%, but you're still 60% sure you should do this thing, then just do it. Just do it. Go for it. Just trust God. don't trust God necessarily for a particular outcome. Just trust in the God who loves and cares for you and will provide for you no matter what the outcome. What often happens is God shows up in ways we didn't anticipate ahead of time. If we wait for 100% certainty before we make important decisions, we may never get there. We'll waste time. We'll lose opportunities. We'll miss a chance to completely rely on God, and that's not a life of faith. What God is doing in this passage is speaking and guiding. God is a communicator and loves to speak to us. In the past, He spoke in many various ways, and today He speaks to us through His Son. So let's go to the next question. What does this passage teach us about mankind? Mankind is causing the drama, pain, trauma, and loss. If God is speaking and guiding, what is mankind doing? Mankind is causing all of these problems. Mankind, specifically Herod, just a man, the king, is causing all of this. It's because of Herod that the Magi had to go home via another route. It's because of Herod that Joseph had to get up and take Jesus to Egypt. And it's because of Herod's death that they are returned. And it's because of Herod that we have one of the most disturbing scenes in Scripture: the killing of innocent children. Herod gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, from Matthew 2:16. Now, the Catholic Church calls this the Massacre of the Innocents and considers the slain boys the first Christian martyrs, commemorated every year on December 28th. This massacre was a wicked act of genocide by Herod against children. The boys in this story and their families did nothing wrong. They were innocent. Their only mistake was that they happened to be born around the same time as Jesus in the town of Bethlehem. And if we sit long enough to let it sink in, we might get a sense of the brutality and injustice of it all. The pain and despair of the mothers and fathers and what they felt were unspeakable. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more, from Matthew 2:18. So the evil one comes to kill, steal, and destroy. This is what we see mankind doing: killing, destroying, and weeping. Jesus teaches us that the evil one comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, from John 10:10. That's the first page of his job description: kill, steal, and destroy. Anytime we see these things, we know it's the evil one at work, not God. Any drama, pain, trauma, or loss in your life is caused by the evil one or someone else's sinful nature. It's never caused by God. God is good and only good. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, from John 1:5. How much darkness is found in God? A little? No. Any darkness at all? No. None. There is no darkness in him. So any darkness we suffer in life is never caused by God, but by the evil one or the evil inside of us, which is sin. In this case, much darkness was caused by sin, the evil inside of Herod. Evil was active back then, killing, stealing, and destroying, and evil is active in our day. This is why bad things happen to good people. This is why we are the victims of crime. This is why we are cheated on, taken advantage of, gossiped about, hurt, or even worse. So many things happen in our lives as we ask, why, God? It's the evil one and the evil inside of human beings that's at work, killing, stealing, and destroying. God identifies with those suffering because he suffered. What makes the Christian God so different from other gods is that in Christianity, God himself suffered. God himself was brutally and unjustly killed. He can identify with the boys and the families in this terrible story. God knows firsthand the pain of trauma and loss. Jesus the Son was arrested, whipped, and beaten. He was scorned, he was ridiculed, he was mocked, and he endured the death sentence reserved for slaves and criminals, which was crucifixion. This means God understands our pain. He gets it. He identifies with pain, loss, and trauma because he experienced pain, loss, and trauma. And instead of showering us with easy answers, advices, or cliches when we ask why, he sits with us and he listens and he understands and he offers his love and presence, which heals us and ultimately one day sets us free. So let's ask the third question now. If this passage is true, how can I adjust my life in the next 24 hours to align with God's will and purpose? Live with relational trust. So I want to encourage you to live with relational trust in the God who loves you, cares for you, and guides you. Don't trust God solely for a particular outcome. Try to simply trust God no matter what. Does that make sense? I want to encourage you to put the 60-40 principle into practice. If you've been waiting for 100% certainty on something important, you will never fall outside of God's loving care when you have a life-specific decision to make, and you make the best decision you can after praying, seeking counsel, and searching Scripture. And finally, I want to give you some good news. If you're in a season where life is beating you up, or if you feel you know all too well the reality of evil and how it comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and your life is consumed with drama, pain, trauma, or a loss, I want you to know something important. One day, Jesus is going to heal it all. One day, everything is going to be put right. Everything. Scripture declares he will wipe away every tear from every eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away, from Revelation 21:4. It's going to be put right for those boys in Bethlehem. It's going to be put right for the victims. It's going to be put right for the brokenhearted. It's going to be put right for you. Jesus says the evil one comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, from John 10:10. That's what God wants for you. That's the message that you should be receiving tonight. Does that help clear up any of those questions that you have? Does that put any of that into a different perspective?
Yeah.
There's a lot of uncertainty there.
No, it's my usual.
You got to think about it and process it.
I do. I have to, because whenever I have, you know, questions like this, and then we go through an explanation, I have to think about it and like twist it all through my brain, and then it makes sense.
Well, this, you know, definitely comes from a place of where, you know, Scripture is kind of coming to life here and speaking to a lot that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that same thing that happened in Bethlehem and tie it to what happened a month ago at the beginning of October,
mm-hmm.
when we saw the pictures of the brutality of all those babies killed.
Oh.
When we saw the pictures and the brutality of the people just killed, murdered, lying in the street.
And those that have been kidnapped and yep. still have not been returned yep. and are probably living under Gaza.
And that is a direct correlation from Scripture right there, from what we just went over, kind of coming to life before our very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And all the pain that people have felt from the families of the ones that were stricken and killed and missing, all of that will be made right. And all of those people, all of those little kids, they will be made whole. All of the ones that were killed, they will be made whole. And all of the broken hardness, that will be made whole. So Scripture is really, that story is kind of being rewritten right here in life, in real time for us right now, in some certain, you know, similarity. I mean, I see the connection. Do you see the connection there?
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, living and walking this life is, you know, all about, you know, turning your life over, right? Starting to walk in your journey with Christ. It's about be willing to turn from your sin and repenting. It's about believing that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again from the dead to pay the price for that sin. And it's about praying to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Those are the first real steps. It's about getting involved in a good Bible-based church. It's about getting involved and start learning and reading the Bible. It's about learning how to pray. It's about learning to get involved in a small group. Those are all the things that are going to start to turn your life around and start your mind thinking in a different direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it was pretty powerful stuff tonight. And I think the more you sit there and think about it from the point of view of the questions you were asking, I think you'll see a lot more of the correlation there. You got any other thoughts tonight?
Well, I was trying to find some information, you know, because you see those commercials all the time for the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews.
Yeah.
And about being able to help support those that are in need that survived the Holocaust and all of these other things. And actually, I just saw another commercial recently for them where they are looking for medical aid as well as food, clothing, anything that people there who have lost everything are trying to, you know, they're trying to help people. And so I was trying to get that information in case anybody wanted to, you know, support that. But I need to do my research on it to make sure that it's.
Yeah, make sure that it's really the real thing that you're reaching out to. Because unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are still out there that are, you know, that would put a story out there, hey, we're doing this for this, and just kind of take people's money and run.
Exactly. Right? And I certainly don't want to give our listeners any kind of information like that would compromise them. So I will look up this program a little bit more in depth. Yeah. And if I feel like it's the legit thing, then I will make sure that we have it up on the website and we mention it next week on the show.
Yep.
Or if you know anything about it, if you are currently supporting a charitable foundation that's reaching out to those that need assistance in Israel, feel free to email us and let us know those details, because, you know, if you're doing it, then it's like a legit thing that you're sponsoring, and I would like to know about it.
Well, definitely would like to know more and to be able to share that information, get it out.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that a lot of different companies actually, you know, do like internal fundraisers for different charities throughout the year. And if your company is one of those companies, certainly, you know, I encourage you to find a group, whether it's Israel or somebody else, you know, if you're sponsoring a children's home or anything like that, you know, we think about giving more this time of year than any other time, but these are people that need our assistance all the year through.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're finding groups that you can work with and that you're able to donate either food or goods or, you know, whatever that looks like, let us know about that stuff. I love happy news.
Yep.
And I would love to talk about you and your group and share that with everybody else, because that's what we're here for, right? I mean, we are humans in this human world, and we should be lifting each other up instead of dragging each other down.
Yep. Definitely need to do that. So, all right.
And I'm putting my soapbox away now.
You will muse me into something else, another topic for next week, right?
Oh, you know me.
I'm sure we'll come up with something very interesting for next week's show.
I just think about things that come out of the blue, and I'm like, hey, I've never thought about this before.
It's usually we're driving down the road, and the most interesting conversations come up, or you know, and like, what do you think about this? And I'm like completely off guard.
That's the randomness gene that I have.
And I'm like, well, let me think about this for a few.
But then you have these wonderful topics come up. So there you go. You're welcome.
Well, we appreciate everybody joining us tonight and hope you'll join us again next week. Thinking about changing the night we actually do this show. Thinking about changing it from Thursday night to maybe Sunday nights.
Oh, then I won't be late.
Yeah, then you won't be late.
I just can't seem to get it all together. Once I get home from work, I want to fall apart.
Thinking about changing it from Thursday night to Sunday nights, it would give us more time to be able to dedicate to it, to, you know, give us a couple more days too to pull some more information together. So
that's right.
But so maybe next week you won't hear us on Thursday night.
But we'll let you know.
You may hear from us next Sunday night. I think that moving the show to Sunday nights is probably a good thing. I know we've done this for over 2 years on Thursday nights, but I think moving it to Sunday nights at 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock would be a good thing.
And of course, if Michael has just confused you completely by switching this up on you here, we'll make sure and let you know through all the normal places.
Yep. But yeah, we probably are going to be making that change. Not sure if it'll take effect this week or not. So if we're not on Thursday night, you know we're going to be on Sunday night.
Do y'all want a twofer?
Yeah, really. So, but we hope everybody has a great week, and we look forward to meeting up with everybody again next week. And we'll see you right here. Everybody have a great weekend.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at christianpolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititaLK, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Every day this never-ending pressure tries to take its claim over my heart. I have tried to hold it all together, but time and time again I fall apart. But that's where I find my life was never mine at all. But you are the one inside, always in control. So when it feels like all of this pain is never gonna end, brought to my knees by all of these things I don't understand, don't understand. I will let the weight of my fear fall like sand out of my hands and into yours, out of my hands and into yours. Letting go of worries I can't measure, always in control. So when it feels like all of this pain is never gonna end.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.